All right, let's put controversy aside for just a little bit and meet our next guest. You know him from Night Court. He was a regular on Cheers. He's been on Saturday Night Live. He's been all over the place. And now he's here at Zany's in Rosemont, actually, tonight and tomorrow night. We'll give you all the information in a little bit. But first, let's say hello to Harry Anderson.
Hey,
hello, Harry.
Is this controversy the mechanical bull?
Yes.
There was a mechanical
bull.
That's
all I'm hearing. I mean, that's all. The entire Tribune building is a quiver.
I know. Well, it's bull. We're not used to scandal here in Chicago. We don't have scandal.
I know. Yesterday it was Chris Christie. Today it's something about the same weight. They wrote it.
Right. So
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I want to throw a compliment your way because I didn't know that I would ever get a chance to meet you. And I filed something in my head years ago. And I said, if I ever meet Harry Anderson, I have to tell him what a great job he did.
You actually said this?
It's filed in my head. It's filed in my head, Harry.
Sometimes the things filed in his head are very scary.
They're dangerous. So put a seatbelt on.
You use it to get out of prison. Yeah.
They made a remake of the classic film Harvey that Jimmy Stewart did such a marvelous job with. You played Elwood P. Dowd, and you did a fantastic job in it.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Yeah, that was a great time. Leslie Nielsen played the doctor.
Yep.
Swoozy played my... That was...
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous fun. And it was directed by the fellow who had directed Art Carney in the first television version.
Really?
Of it. Yeah, yeah. That was a real high point.
Can I ask, when you're given a role or you win a role like that, it's a classic role. Jimmy Stewart is known for that for years and years and years. Are you nervous saying, what can I bring to a role that a guy like Jimmy Stewart didn't bring to it? What do you do?
Well, I had done it in high school.
Yeah?
And when they wanted me to do a fourth year of Dave's World, I said, okay, if I get to do Harvey.
Yeah.
So I begged for it.
Good job.
There's asking for trouble, and then they're standing up and begging for it. And then when they hired Leslie Nielsen,
then
I knew I had to do something.
Did he come in and do your high school version of it? Was he also involved in the high school version?
No, but you know who was in it?
No.
A kid named Stevie Siegel.
Yeah.
Who later became Steven Seagal.
Really?
Really?
At Buena Park High School, he played the Jesse White, the bouncer at the Yeah. And years later, I was in New Orleans.
Is that funny?
At Mardi Gras, and Steven Seagal is standing there, and he's wearing that kimono, and he's like, no man is an island, my ass. He comes up to me, and I don't know that I've ever met Steven Seagal, but he says, Harry, Buena Park High School, and my head is just rattling. And I say, Stevie Siegel? And he gave me a look like nobody calls him.
We don't pronounce
Stevie.
It that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you can't find the people that call him Stevie Siegel anymore.
Funny.
But isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had Leslie Nielsen. There you go. And the guy who played the part in my version was Jim O'Hare, who's the big guy on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a very nice cast.
The guy who plays Jerry, who spent some time here for a little bit. I used to audition against him for parts here in Chicago.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
And he did a couple of Night Courts, too. So
excellent.
That was great fun. Great fun.
How'd those auditions go?
Not too well. He got the job every time, and I did not.
Notice who's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Not me. It's not me. But I can find it on a map. So
good.
Going back to the Night Court years, when you think back to those days, what comes to mind immediately? Your time as Harry Stone on Night Court.
Oh, what comes to mind immediately? The craft service.
Yeah, good food?
Oh, good food. What a great job. What a great job. I mean,
it was such a good show.
Beats putting on an orange vest and picking up crap off the freeway, which was my other work release option. I got to either do a TV show or that. But it was, Marky Post. She comes to mind pretty quick.
Yep.
It
funny
was just,
and attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And we laughed all day. And then we got these checks that looked like, serial numbers off a tape deck. It was the time of my life.
It was one of those shows where they had to behind the scenes because you of course played Harry Stone. She played Christine, and the writers always have to say, there's obviously a chemistry there, so do we put them together romantically, or will that mess things up?
Yeah,
but you guys pulled it off very nicely.
Well, we kept it. A couple of years ago, a show, 30 Rock, Tina Fey show.
Yep.
They did an episode where Kenneth, the page, decided that his one real wish in life was that there had been a different final episode to Night Court. Did you see this?
I did see it too.
Yeah, it's great.
Marky and I paid us fortunes, but it, you know, as who we are,
yeah,
to come in and do an episode of Night Court within 30 Rock. It was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah,
but it was this wonderful notion of this kid had loved Night Court and had always wanted Harry and Marky to get married.
Yeah,
so they set up the wedding, and then of course Harry Anderson and Marky Post hate each other. It was real fun to do.
Let's talk about the brand of magic that you do, because it's magic, but it's like retro magic. It's magic the way it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. I'm a fake. Yeah,
you're not a fake.
Well, I mean, you know, look at this. I put on a tie. I put on a coat. I wear the hat. I got a deck of cards, and then you know, it's mainly just checking my watch every 15 minutes and seeing at what point I can consider the contractual obligation fulfilled.
And for our last trick,
Well, actually, I love to come out and do a 3-card Monty.
Yeah.
Quick 3-card Monty, and then check and say, and there's time for one more. it's not so much a magic show as an hour with, and I just try to make sure no one gets hurt.
It's magic. It's comedy. It's whatever you feel like.
Yeah,
doing.
it's just trying to have a good time.
Harry Anderson is our guest. He's at Zany's in Rosemont through tomorrow night. There's a 7 o'clock show tonight, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday. Do you agree with, and I don't even know if you've ever heard this, but Jerry Seinfeld has this assessment of magic and what magic is.
Oh, yeah. You know where that line came from. We were working together.
Yeah.
We were working together in a club in Southern California, and we were staying at a comedy condo, you know, where they put all the comics in.
Was that a club name?
No.
Because a lot of those clubs have those.
I think the place was called the Laugh Stop.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
When the lights go on, the Laugh Stop.
And comedy condo is actually better.
It's a better name.
And I was in the comedy condo with Jerry and Larry Miller and myself and a guy who had just arrived in this country named Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, yeah.
And Jerry watched me practice magic, and that's where his bit about in fact, I used to catch a bullet in my teeth long, long ago. And Jerry does a bit about that, too. He says, you know, I know a guy catches a bullet in his teeth. I can't remember his name. And he says, think about this. He catches a bullet in his teeth, and I can't remember his name. This guy's got to be thinking, what the hell do I have to do to make an impression? But his thing about magic, which came right off, I mean, it was just an insult to me, and then it went into his act, was his definition of a magician. Here's a quarter. Quarter's gone. You're an idiot.
Right.
Quarter's back. You're a jerk. Show's over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was actually just a little Valentine to me.
But is that an insult to you? Are you insulted by that? You're not.
No. You know, there's an old joke about the guy that goes in and he wants to marry a girl who isn't very bright. So he has half his brain removed.
Yeah.
And he comes out of the operating room, and the doctor says, you know, we meant out to take out half your brain, but, you know, we shouldn't have been smoking. We were watching television. I mean, we took out a lot more than half your brain. We took out, a big part of your brain. And the guy says, never mind, pick a card.
You can still be a magician even after they remove part of your brain.
Yeah, you know, in fact, Muhammad Ali does magic now.
Does he?
He does?
Which I think is absolute evidence that he rope-a-dope does have long-lasting effect.
You know, the biggest... It's funny, we're talking about him 2 days in a row, but he's worthy of it, certainly. The biggest magic fan in the universe was Johnny Carson.
He
was mystified by it.
Oh, he loved it. He was the best audience to do magic for.
Yeah.
And I did the show a lot because he loved magic. Now you watch Jay Leno hates magic.
Mm-hmm.
David Letterman, you know, well, he likes to poke fun at just about everything with magic. In fact, you know, you watch television now, you watch Arrested Development, you watch, you define people as being lame and foolish by giving them magic as a hobby. You know, on 30 Rock, Tina's talking to the blonde,
Jane Krakowski.
Yes. Jenna.
And she's saying, Jenna, back then you were doing drugs. You were in terrible shape. She says, I wasn't in that bad shape. Oh, yeah, you were dating David Blaine. Come on.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to say, you know.
I want to talk to you about David
Blaine. You are hogging everything.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
I want to know who hates magic.
I want to know about, more about that watch. Who hates magic?
Yeah, I mean, who can hate magic?
No, it's not that. It's like ventriloquism, okay? It's not that you hate it. You actually enjoy it. It just doesn't seem like something a grown-up. You know, if your kid said, I'm going to talk without moving my lips professionally, you wouldn't.
I guess you wouldn't encourage him to continue that.
Yeah, you wouldn't look up Juilliard, you know. You know, it's not, you know.
I have to look to see if you're wearing gym shoes, because you are dressed up very nicely, and you always had the robe with the gym shoes on.
You like this tie?
Yeah. He's looking very sharp.
The guy couldn't guess my weight.
You got a tie.
And this jacket, isn't this cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a surprise present for my wife.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the chair in the bedroom the other night when I got home. It's kind of big, but it came with a wallet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
you may not want to look through the wallet, Harry.
Oh, I still got it. No, don't look in the wallet. Oh, boy.
Let's do this. I want to come back, and you mentioned David Blaine. I want to talk to you a little bit about David Blaine. Are you good with that?
And I am like a quivering schoolgirl.
Are you? Okay, we've got a quivering schoolgirl in the studio with us. His name is Harry Anderson. You can see him at Zanies in Rosemont. You got a show tonight at 7 o'clock, two shows tomorrow, 7 and 9:30.
I think it's magic that you do two shows in one night.
I just heard that, and I'm very.
Are you upset?
I am very depressed. Yeah, I had no idea.
So, which do you recommend for people? See the first one. You'll be tired by the second one.
I could be so tired, you know, that I might be. I don't know. The airport's right there.
It's close by.
Yeah, right there. I got thoughts rattling through my head right now.
Although, if you forget something in the first show, the second show might be better.
That's
actually
true too.
Yeah, actually, you know, with three shows, the last show is going to be best. Instead, I don't perform all the time now, so you know, you get good warmed up. You got the third show. You know, you got the end is the horizon is in view.
You can see it,
and then you're out of there.
Yeah. As I say, the airport. God, I think I can walk to the airport.
I mentioned David Blaine. They reran his special Wednesday night.
David Blaine.
I don't even know. I don't know if you're friends with him. I don't know if you're enemies.
Never met David Blaine.
He is, without a doubt, the most low-key human being on the planet.
Uh-huh.
He just, there's nothing that excites him. He just, you know,
right.
I'm going to light myself on fire, and I might survive, and I might die. Let's see what happens. Fiona Apple is a hell of a date. Yes. He just can't excite David Blaine.
Well, you know, he does. He has to lay still for 30 days.
Right.
Pop. You know, you can't You can't do a, you know, Gilbert Gottfried while you're doing that.
That would be funny.
Kind of chill.
But he does a version. There's a trick that I've seen you do, and I shouldn't even say trick. Is it an illusion? Is it? I don't know what it is.
It's a trick.
You're putting a spike. You're putting something through your arm, and now he's doing a version of that too.
Yeah. Well, that's an old. It's an old piece. You know. I started off pounding nails up my nose.
Yep.
And when I was a street performer, I learned carnival stuff and carnival pieces. You know, they excite a crowd and they get, you know. And then when I went on to television, SNL, I went in and showed them that I could pound a nail up my nose. And they said, is there anything else? And that was SNL, you know. In one appearance on SNL, I ate a live guinea pig. Now, this is the opening. It was my monologue for hosting the show. And I brought out a guinea pig, and he tried to get him to do stunts. And he was apparently whispering to me, and he wouldn't roll over, and he wouldn't jump through a hoop. And then the guinea pig explained that he couldn't work with a Caucasian drummer. And that started an argument. We started an argument, and I ended up eating the guinea pig. Well, I didn't eat the guinea pig.
Right.
You know, I switched it for a piece of sponge cake and a squeaker in it. But sure as hell looked like I ate the guinea pig. And they got phone calls. I mean, it was like, you know, out of a Frank Capra movie with the operators or, you know, the punchboard. I don't know. They got so many phone calls. And that's SNL.
Right.
You know? And the best was an hour into it, then Chicago sees it for the first time. You know? And am I right? You people will eat anything that will... that will stand that still long enough to put mustard on it, right? Yeah.
That's it. So no complaints.
Oh, so the animal lovers of Chicago.
Yeah. Are,
and I really thought, you know, the producer thought we were going to be sodomized leaving the studio
by
animal lovers.
By PETA.
Yeah. PETA. That whole combination of images now. PETA sodomized. It's striking. So the needle through the arm is of that school, and that's, see, I'm pretending like I remember the question.
But Harry, but when this happens, it's victory for you. When you do a trick like that, and Wendy and I are squirming, going, "Don't put that needle in your arm." You've won.
Well, that's what you want, because you know that's what a magician wants from the time he begins. He wants a response.
Yeah.
He wants for people to respond to it as if it had happened, not just that they're fooled by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to fool somebody and they don't know how you did it, but when they really get the experience of having actually experienced it as if it really happened,
mm-hmm.
then you really pulled one off.
Yep.
You know?
Did you really pound the nail into your nose?
I can't put a nail up my nose.
Okay, because I mean,
after about four cocktails, I'll tell you what I can do. I can put a condom in my nose and bring it out my mouth.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I know it's all connected in there and everything, but
It is. Maybe five condoms.
Does it come out as a balloon animal? Because that would really
that would be killer.
That would be something.
You close with that. You got to close with that.
That would, boy. Yeah,
work on that.
Well, you've given me a challenge. Yeah.
Because they had that Jim Rose Circus sideshow that was doing.
Now, Jim Rose is a great show.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. But look at the guys in that show. Mr. Lifto.
Yes.
Ooh.
The incredible Mr. Lifto,
the incredible
who hangs things from his nipples.
Yep.
And other places.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Whoa. I was taking the clean route.
Yeah. And if you're hanging by your nipples and that's the clean route.
Then what?
You've really got some shadows.
Can you, with all the years you've done magic, can you still be fooled? Do you still see illusionists who do things and you go, I don't know how they did that?
Yeah. That has never been the fascination for me. The puzzle, I'm as easily fooled as most people.
Really?
I mean, there's stuff that obviously I know it's part of the library of knowledge, but I like it when I get the sense that I'm with a special person.
Mm-hmm.
Through the magic, the magician expresses the possibility of human potential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to sound corny about it,
mm-hmm.
but it's very uplifting to think, wow, people are actually capable of doing, what we would not have guessed. People, and then it lifts your feeling about just walking around.
Sure, it does.
Yeah.
What would you have given to have met Harry Houdini? Would that have been a huge day for you?
Harry Houdini was a hack.
Was he a hack? He really?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You scared me.
No. He's not my favorite.
No?
I've met truly, truly great magicians. Many here in Chicago. I mean, the great card men are from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Great mentalists, mind readers were from Chicago. There's guys I would have liked to have met whose names you wouldn't know, Ted Annemann and guys from the past. But, you know, Houdini's a little overblown.
Was he really?
I would say only in the fact that he occupies so much of history, magical history. You know, he's like the only, you know, it's like you can name Pavarotti and then who's the second opera star you can name, you know. Houdini is
a name brand.
Yeah, he's a brand.
What's your relationship like with Penn & Teller? Because I know they have a lot of feud with a lot of magicians.
Oh, we don't. We were street performers together.
Really?
Yeah, in San Francisco. They used to be with a group called the Asparagus Valley Players.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started doing SNL, Dick Ebersole had taken over the show from Lorne Michaels for a time. And he decided to put in variety acts.
Mm-hmm.
And one was me. And so I did it 7-8 times, and Penn & Teller also appeared, and Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But so Penn & Teller and I have grown up together.
That's Harry Anderson. You need to see him. He's in town for a couple of nights tonight, 7 o'clock at Zanies in Rosemont. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock and 9:30 in Rosemont. A couple ways to get tickets, 847-813-0484, or the website, zanies.com. An honor to meet you, Harry.
Oh, thanks.
Very much.
You guys are fun.
Thank you.
And you're having a good time.
It's very much.
It's so easy to see that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And that beep depresses me because it means either the fries are done and I don't see fries right. or time's up
yeah.
with Harry.
And sadly, it's time's up. Thanks, Harry. Have a great stay here.
Yeah. All right. Okay, guys.